The Ravian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEM.
We welcome you here to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEM. I'm your host, Jacob Fessmeyer, and joining me live later in the show is my co-host, Ian Stevens. But right now, sitting across from me is former Pendleton Heights All-State basketball player and now current girls basketball coach, Nick Rogers. Ian and I will join you folks live here in the next segment. Talk with Coach Cook about the road trip down to Shelbyville over the weekend. Take on the Lady Golden Bears. As well as a preview into this week as they battle Mount Vernon on Friday night. Coach Ballard will also join the show to talk about last week's season opener against Anderson. Marquee matchups against Westfield and LaPel. As Ian and I close out the show looking at December's calendar of events. So moving forward, Coach Rogers. All right, so you've been involved in the game of basketball for quite some time here in Pendleton. So what do you enjoy most about the sport of basketball?
Well, I mean, really, it's been a part of my life for, you know, pretty much as long as I can remember. My dad played here, played some college basketball as well. So, I mean, it's always been an integral part of our family's life. And now that I'm a dad, you know, it's great to be able to kind of pass those experiences down to my kids as well. So
after your playing days here at Pendleton Heights, you started to help out with the boys basketball team a little bit and have now made your way over to the girls basketball team. But what made you want to be a coach?
So I think, you know, a lot of my mentors, you know, Coach Buck, Coach Hahn, really kind of planted that seed. I would say as well as my dad. My dad was never, he always coached youth stuff, but was never, you know, never really got the recognition for, you know, doing high school or anything like that. But he was always great. I've always been driven to, you know, have relationships with people and work, what have you. So it was just really one of those things that, you know, it kind of worked. And I had great experiences from the coaches that I played under and worked under. And I just wanted to be able to share that knowledge and passion with other people.
So now you won a sectional championship here at Pendleton Heights, not only as a player, but also as a coach. So describe what it's like to win a sectional title and cut down that net.
Man, it's truly special. So, you know, winning two as a player, one in Muncie Central at the Fieldhouse, winning another one as a junior at Newcastle, coming back as a coach to, you know, win two on the boys' side as well at Newcastle. It truly is special. You know, not everybody gets an opportunity to do that. So to be able to kind of share not only what it feels like to get that accomplishment done, but to also share kind of what it takes to get there. That's kind of one of those things also that I like to pour into people. You know, I want, you know, now that I have girls at home, daughters, I want to, you know, help Coach Cook build something where our girls get to experience that feeling. So we talk about it a lot. And, you know, that's something that we're working towards.
So speaking of championships, back in your playing days, how many Madison County championships have you been a part of?
I think my sophomore year was the first year that they had started the county. And that year, we actually knocked off Anderson in the first round on a buzzer beater, but then ended up losing the next night to LaPel. So the next 2 years, my junior and senior year, we made it to the championship game against Anderson, ran into a buzzsaw. So as a player, I did not win one. As a coach, oh man, I can't remember. I'm pretty sure pretty much all 3 years that I was here, we were pretty close with Kellen. We either won them or were in the championship game. So, I've been to the finals a lot. I've cut down the nets a couple times, but it's definitely, you know, that's one of our goals that we're trying to reach for the girls this year as well.
So I know you mentioned your parents, Coach Hahn and Coach Buck, were some of your biggest role models in basketball. But who would you say, or, you know, maybe a few other role models you have in basketball when you were younger?
I mean, growing up in the era that I did, you know, Madison County basketball was still, you know, very huge back in the day. I was lucky enough to kind of get in the gym and see some of those games from the Wigwam back in the day. So I don't know that it was necessarily maybe a person, but maybe just kind of being blessed to grow up in this county and be a part of people that knew the history of, you know, kind of what Madison Heights, Highland, Anderson, all those, you know, big Anderson schools, what they meant, even some of the past teams from Pendleton as well. Just to live in this county and kind of grow up in such a basketball rich place, you know, that didn't hurt anything at all. So, I wouldn't say necessarily a person, just kind of also, you know, being around this great county, great city and community, definitely just, you know, help, you know, hone those, desires to want to be good.
Yeah, I understand. So kind of shifting over to college a little bit. I know you mentioned college a little bit earlier in the segment, but what was it like taking that next big step and being able to play basketball at the collegiate level? And I'm pretty sure, I believe you played at Southern Illinois.
Yeah. So, you know, that was one of those things. I personally didn't have a lot of people around me, to kind of help guide through that process. You know, Coach Buck had a couple players that had some Division I exposure. My mother-in-law, Julie Schnepp, used to be a big-time volleyball player here in the 80s. She was Julie Colley back then, but she had some exposure to Division I, things like that. And, you know, kind of made a rush decision. Southern Illinois back then was coached by Matt Painter, who's now at Purdue. They went to the tournament, you know, all the time. I was really, let's see, what's the word? Immature in my decision to think that that's what it was all about. You know, just making it to the tournament all the time and things like that. So, you know, ended up coming back home, played at Anderson for a couple of years before my knees, you know, lots of wear and tear. But I would also say that those experiences kind of helped lead me to the coaching world. So it was great to have them. You know, I wish things would have ended up better. But definitely having those experiences kind of put me where I'm at today. So
now speaking of today, so with being an assistant coach for quite some time, do you maybe picture or have any desire to become a high school basketball head coach in the future?
I mean, if the opportunity presented itself, it would definitely be a discussion. But I think right now we're just, me and Coach Cook are really trying to, you know, elevate all the things that he's been doing, and give him some stability, with some of his staff and give somebody that he can depend on and know that they're going to be there. And, you know, they've been kind of through the fire, so to speak, with other teams. So, we're super focused on, you know, trying to make this program the best that it can be. And, you know, hopefully get Coach Cook and the girls, meeting all our goals of county, conference, and sectional.
Hey, thank you, Coach Rogers, for joining me.
Yep. Thank you.
If you're a nonprofit and need to get information out to the public, please fill out the WEEM PSA form at 917WEEM.org. Again, to provide WEEM with PSA information, fill out the PSA form at 917WEEM.org.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 917 WEEM.
Welcome back here to the ASN Coaches Show on 917 WEEM. But here for segment two, we have girls and varsity basketball head coach Chad Cook as we take a look at a review from last week as the game against Shelbyville So last week was another very successful week for the Lady Arabians as they claimed their third win in the Hoosier Heritage Conference with a win on the road against the Shelbyville Lady Golden Bears. So what has been your team's key to success up to this point in the season?
Well, I think defensively we really set the tone in most of our games here. We're getting better all the time and, you know, working hard in practice. But, you know, getting off to a good start and applying that pressure, keeping teams out of what they want to do offensively, you know, that's proved to be successful for us. So, you know, if you're looking at kind of what we've done in this start, I mean, the last four games have all been almost 35-point running clocks. I mean, we were a point or two away from Frankton turning into a running clock, and then we were actually last against Shelbyville, we got up 36, and the refs were like, hey, run the clock, but they never actually did get the clock running. But, you know, those big leads like that come from getting, you know, true stops. And you look at that halftime score against Shelbyville when we're up 42-13 at the half. I mean, you're just really limiting what they had. I mean, they're 20 points a game. You know, score has zero at the half. You're just really, you know, giving them what you want defensively, and they're struggling even to get into their offense. So we've had that from the start, you know, and it's gave us this good, you know, start to the season, and we're not satisfied. We got work to do. But it's nice to be able to hang your hat on your defense, and, you know, we've been able to do that so far.
So last week you had a couple of starters banged up and sidelined for that game Saturday. But what did you see out of the players that were able to step up in the rotation and able to fill that role?
It's what we talked about at halftime, having that 42-13 lead at half. And, you know, we had Kylie Lloyd, not playing. You had Casey Warfel, who sat out a quarter and a half. Whitney Warfel had two fouls. She's out. And you were banged up there. Haley Brunemer was out the first quarter, and we're up 42-13. You know, just that having somebody you can go to, you know, 1 through 9, where you're able to sub and everybody's picking up their slack and, you know, doing the things that they know they need to do, and we gain a little bit of different attributes from some of those players. But they're all playing defense, and the ones that are left on the floor are talking and communicating with those others to really make it tough on the other team to run what they want to run. So that's what we mentioned to the girls, that we're up 42-13 there at the half, and we have all those girls not playing, and I think we give up no offensive rebounds in the first half, and we had two turnovers. So you're not going to lose like that.
So with the conflict of only a couple of school days as well as Thanksgiving weekend, how well do you feel your team did executing the game plan this week?
I thought it was tremendous. You know, having that Thursday Thanksgiving where we all get to eat what we want and have a day off of practice. We came back after it. I felt really good about our practice Friday. Coming back, I thought we'd be pretty sharp Saturday. Reminds me of when we used to play this game on Fridays just to couple years ago. We switched it to Saturday last year, but when we played that game on Friday after you hadn't practiced on Thursday, it was a little bit of a mess. So, you know, Shelbyville, they're typically a mess too because they didn't practice on that Thursday either, but it's a little bit better basketball. We were able to execute, you know, what we wanted to do, and we were sharp, and it was good to have Whitney Warfel back, you know, after her being out. So it was a good game for her to come back and jump in and play, and I thought everybody did a good job of really doing the things we worked on in practice to get him to execute that well in the game.
So looking at one of the Lady Arabians on Saturday, over on the defensive side of the ball, it was Abby Rosencrane. She really made her defensive presence known to the Lady Golden Bears on that Saturday. But what did you see out of her performance on Saturday?
Well, Abby's one of those players that she can get us points, she can get us rebounds, she can get us steals. She's our best plus minus, you know, on the team. When she's in the game, we're just a better team. You can't really play the game well without her having, you know, her being on the floor. I mean, if we think back to last year and the importance she had, even with Kylie Davis on the floor last year, when we didn't have her on the floor, you could tell. We lost that county championship to Anderson with Abby sitting out last year. So, you know, if I even think back to her sophomore year, like the impact she would have made in that sectional when we were playing for a sectional title against New Pal, who won the sectional that year. You know, her impact then was critical. But she's a outstanding player, and she does all kinds of statistical things, but she does a lot of things that don't show up on the stat sheet. You know, the talking on defense and the getting the girls focused and getting us in the right place on offense where we have good spacing and reading what the defense gives you. She's a heck of a player, and she's really going to benefit somebody at the next level next year.
So this team has shown a very aggressive defense up to this point in the season, been able to force a lot of turnovers throughout the game. But with all those turnovers, has definitely been a lot of foul trouble, especially early on throughout the game. So what approach do you take defensively to keep forcing the same amount of turnovers, but to try to control and limit the fouls?
Well, we talk about being in good position and letting them give it to us more than us getting a deflection or getting a steal. So we just got to know those points. A lot of our foul trouble comes from maybe one that we earn in the first quarter and then the second one being an iffy one. So, minding your P's and Q's from the get-go, you know, not getting yourself on a reach early. Because that's what's happened, you know, when we've got in foul trouble and had to sit, we've made a mistake with being out of position and reaching or, you know, getting our hand in the cookie jar and get a foul there. And then maybe we get a little soft one somewhere else. You know, that's the one you want to get. You want to get the one from a hustle play and not from being out of position. So it's something we're working on, and hopefully we'll be better for it on Saturday.
Whitney Warfel caught fire on Saturday, definitely in that first quarter, as she had 12 of her 20 points on the afternoon. So how crucial will it be for her to carry that scoring threat for the rest of the season?
Well, she's going to be a big attribute to what we do, and teams are going to be playing zones and things against this, and she's going to be able to break that up with how she plays. So I think she'll have another good one on Saturday. And, you know, with the style of her play and what she can do in the half court, that really helps us, especially against the teams we're going to be facing here. But it's a real big one there that we got in front of us on Saturday. But I think with the way she plays and how she's playing right now, it's really going to be a benefit to the Lady Arabians and how we function.
So back over to the defense once again. A great team performance in being able to neutralize Shelbyville's Kylie Edwards, holding her to 0 points in that first half. So what did you see from the executions on defense in that game?
Well, I knew that we'd be able to really limit her to what we were going to do, just being a defensive-minded team. We were able to pressure her and double her out of the gate, and they really couldn't even run the offense that they were trying to run because of all the pressure that we were applying. So I knew that she'd be in a little trouble and not facing a team like that we are on their schedule yet. But definitely, you know, it was a good, testament to our team defense because, you know, we started with Casey on her, and then she got a couple fouls on a loose ball and then on a reach. But then we stepped up and picked up, and the other girls, you know, had to guard her, and we tried her from a couple different angles. We had Morgan Martin on her. We had Whitney Warfel on her, and just no one was going to let her score. So anytime you can hold somebody that's getting 20 a game to zero, I mean, she was having trouble getting shots off, let alone make them. So they're really a good team defense, and being aware of where she was at, they got a good squad. I mean, Shelbyville's as good as they've been in a while. Being 4-2 coming into that game, feeling good, coming off a big win against Greensburg. You know, Greensburg was in the state finals just a couple years ago, and, you know, for them to beat Greensburg, they're feeling good about where they were, but they just hadn't faced a team like us yet.
So that will do it for this segment. When we come back, Coach Cook will stay with us to discuss this Saturday's marquee matchup for the Lady Ravens as they look to keep the train rolling against the Mount Vernon Lady Marauders. You're listening to the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Last year, Friday nights were still game nights. But one thing was missing. You. This year, tickets to Friday Night High School Football are available again. And when you buy yours, you're buying so much more than a ticket.
you're making a contribution to your community. That's because the proceeds from ticket and concession sales help fund your school's athletic department. That means you're helping provide transportation for the players. You're helping purchase new safety equipment. Most importantly, the game continues to get played. And the invaluable life lessons learned from high school sports will continue to be taught.
Fans, I'm Commissioner Paul Neidig, and I just want to say welcome back and thanks for buying a ticket. The students and schools in your community deserve your support.
This is high school football. This is Friday night. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome you back to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEM. Coach Cook stays with us to talk about this Saturday's premier matchup between the 6-1 Lady Ravens and the 4-1 Lady Marauders. Now, the Lady Ravens, of course, are on a 5-game winning streak, tracing back to earlier this month, November 9th, when the Lady Ravens won their first conference game on the road against Newcastle, 65-46. Now, in 4 out of those 5 games, Pilton Heights has won by a 20-point differential. Playing scorching hot out on offense, recording 70-plus points for the third time this season, and being able to limit opposing offenses from making big plays. So, Coach, what's it going to take to stretch the winning streak up to 6 when playing Mount Vernon?
Well, Mount Vernon's the reigning champs. They're the reigning conference champs or the reigning sectional champs, and they're not going to plan on losing very easily. Playing out on the road is going to be, you know, huge. This is where the sectional is going to be played. So, you know, this is going to be our one chance to play on the floor. We can no longer practice, you know, before the sectional on the floor if you've already played there. So it's going to be a, you know, tough environment for us. Hopefully we'll have a good Arabian fan section there that'll be able to, you know, support us and get us going. But I don't think they're going to go down easy. And, you know, we're talking about in practice that you know, it's going to be a four-quarter game. You know, even, you know, having a lead or even if we got behind, they won't let up. They're not going to be a team that falls down and gives up easy. They're the reigning champs. So we're going to have to fight for every inch and every loose ball and every rebound. And it's going to be a tough win, but that's what we plan on doing if we can do the things we want to do.
Now, actually, as of today, Mount Vernon has not played in 11 days. The last game was back on November 18th as they defeated Rushville on their home court 51-26. They are set to return this week as they take on Westfield on Tuesday. Now, speaking of Westfield, they defeated the Lady Ravens 52-41 before Pendleton Heights took off on their win streak. Plus, they also played Centerville High School from Ohio over the weekend, and they defeated them 60-51 and then back over to Pendleton Heights on Saturday. So a rough couple of games to play when coming back from, I guess, a couple of weeks off. So with that difficult stretch the Lady Marauders have to face this week, how confident do you feel when it comes to hitting their court and taking the win on Saturday?
Well, I feel real good about what we have and the program that we have here and what we're going to be able to do. We're going to be a tough team to beat if we do what we want to do. You know, and most teams after a two-week spell may be a little rusty. I got a feeling that they're going to be raring to go after 2 weeks. A lot of those girls getting 2 weeks of practice and learning their offense is going to help them. I imagine they're going to be playing as good as they could be playing at all when they hit the floor Thursday night against Westfield. And Westfield's, you know, a team that we feel like if we had over again, we'd probably be able to play them differently and have a little bit more success with them. But, yeah, that's going to be one that will sharpen them up, you know, on Thursday, playing a good team like Westfield. And then, you know, us coming 2 days later to play them on their floor, it's going to be tough for us. They're going to be ready to go. And like I said, they're the reigning champs. They're not planning on giving up that title easy.
So Mount Vernon has been one of the most successful teams in the conference all across the board in about every sport. But their girls basketball team has definitely showed it. Through 3 seasons, they combined for a 65-13 record, including 2 sectional titles and undefeated against Pendleton 5-0. So what will be some of the challenges when playing a different look here in the Mount Vernon on Saturday?
Well, you know, that group they had there at Mount Vernon that won all those games for them, that was the coach's daughter and her class. So ever since they were all starting as freshmen and taking their bumps and bruises that year, They were just one of those groups that you were happy to get rid of because you had the coach's daughter, but then you had everybody else who had been playing with the coach's daughter's teams ever since they were in third or fourth grade. So all those girls were sharp, and they have four girls that could shoot over 40% from three-point range, and they were just tough on you. You know, they got Minch back this year, 6'2 shooting guard, who's, you know, one of the best players in the state and her class, sophomore class, and she's going to be tough for them. But you got Swingle, who started last year for them, and Shipley. Those girls are not planning on giving up anything easy. It's going to be a tough game for us, but I think that shield's ready to be broken.
So you guys were able to meet up with Mount Vernon two times last year, the first meeting being back on January 2nd as the Lady Arabians fell 49-38. Then the second meeting was later, a couple months later, down when you drew them in the sectional. The Lady Arabians fell once again in a low-scoring tight game, a 32-point finish. That was a game that was very close, neck and neck all game long. That sectional meeting, the leading scorer was senior Kylie Davis, who dropped 12 points on 43% shooting, followed up by Kylie Lloyd with 7, and Whitney Warfel, who posted 6 of her own, as both of them also collected 7 rebounds. This game was quite defensive, as Abby Rosenkrantz was able to reel in a couple of steals, and Kylie Lloyd and Whitney Warfel both secured a block. So how will this upcoming game teach lessons and build experience for this team as you head into the rest of your season?
Well, there's a couple things from that game there that you'll still resonate with us. Like, Abby Rosenkrantz did play in that game, but what we don't know from looking at the stat line is she didn't practice for the week before that. She didn't practice the day before the game. So she came out there and was missing her free throws and wasn't as sharp as she usually is because she had a bruise on her knee, and they thought it maybe was a knee injury, so she wasn't practicing at all. But then she got cleared, you know, ready to play in that game. So she wasn't quite what she could have been. So if we would have had Abby healthy, what would that have been like? And then also, you know, we were ahead in that game 20-12 at half and really locking them up defensively. But like I said before, this game's going to go four quarters. And we learned that lesson that, you know, just because you play a good half doesn't mean that you've won a game. So we're going to stay focused all through all four quarters and really get what we want to get. Stay, you know, patient on offense and really tough on the defensive end and make things hard for them.
Now, as you mentioned, the Lady Marauders have lost a few key players from last year's team transitioning into this season. One of them, as you mentioned, was Lexi Shelton, who's the premier scorer and rebounder, who led the team with 15 points and 6 rebounds per game. A couple others were playmakers, Olivia Yaley and Abby Worley. But how do you feel the Lady Ravens will benefit from the loss of those three Mount Vernon seniors?
Well, just in the intangible part of it, the toughness and the not wanting to lose, you know, not willing to lose kind of mindset that each one of those girls had, those helped make that team a really solid team. And then they also had good skill to go with it, you know, shooting 40%+ from three and getting after it defensively and making things really tough in their matchup zone. They're going to miss those girls for sure. But Coach Shelton there at Mount Vernon, she'll have those other girls up and coming, and they'll be playing good defense too. And they're going to find people that can knock down shots for them and help them to be the best team they can be. Not just now, but they're going to be a sharper team come February.
So the Warfel sisters continue to lead the team in scoring, with Casey and Whitney notching 14 and 13 points per game, followed by Haley Brunemer, who is also in the double digits with 12 per game. Along with the scoring, Casey shoots 51% from the field, along with Haley shooting 45%. So how will the contribution of this team's dominant scorers and shooters contribute into this game?
Well, hopefully our defense will lead to some offense on our end, and we will score some points. But we want to be real patient against their zone Saturday. We want to not turn it over, and we want to rebound. When they're in that matchup and we're being patient, hopefully we'll knock down some shots and we'll be able to get some stuff going to the basket and really be able to get to the foul line and finish strong as we go to the rim and really be able to break up their zone. And I think our defense should be able to apply enough pressure that we might get us some stuff going the other way. So, you know, I don't think that they're wanting to turn it over. And they're going to be good at taking care of the ball. But, you know, what we can do defensively is probably going to be you know, a strong asset for us. And as tough as they're going to make it on us, we plan on doing the same to them. So hopefully some of our shots will fall, and hopefully we'll be running fast and jumping high come Saturday there at Mount Vernon.
So as you mentioned, Mount Vernon, a team that's going to expect to show a zone defensively look. That was something you were able to see last Saturday at Shelbyville, a lot of a 2-3 zone. But you guys really were able to pick that apart inside, finding Whitney Worfel inside, a key to success in her 12-point first quarter. So is that something you're going to be looking at here as we approach Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, you know, trying to find the weak spots in those zones. This stuff we'll be working on the whole week. I mean, in all my years of coaching against Coach Shelton, they've always played that zone. So I imagine they'll do that same thing, and they might stretch it out into a 1-2-2. It's still going to look the same in the zone press when they bring it out to half court. So they're going to be in that, and they're going to try to perfect that and be sharp at it. So we're going to have to try to put a chink in their armor and get to some of the things that we want to get. And hopefully that'll work out for us Saturday.
That will wrap it up for this segment. Thank you, Coach Cook, for joining us up here once again.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for covering us.
So coming up next, Coach Ballard will join us to talk about last week's season opener against Anderson and two key meetings this week on the schedule. You're listening to the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Are you looking to expand your client base? Needing to have more people know about your business? Consider becoming an underwriter for 91.7 WEEM. Your sponsorship helps the student broadcasters of Pendleton Heights gain valuable skills and experience. WEEM has a rich tradition of community involvement that wouldn't happen without the support of our underwriters. More information is available from Christian Ruggles at 765-778-2161, extension 6095, or at cruggles@smcsc.com.
The Arabian Stable is your place for Pendleton Heights apparel, from shirts, sweatshirts, hats, and more. Find everything you need to show you're an Arabian fan by logging on to www.arabianstable.com. You can also find the link on the high school's website at phhs.smcsc.com or on WEEM's website, 917WEEM.org. Arabians get their gear at the Arabian Stable. Get yours today at www.arabianstable.com. That's www.arabianstable.com.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 917 WEEM.
So we're locked in here for segment four of the Coaches Show, here with Boys Varsity Basketball Head Coach Adam Ballard, as we take a review of what happened last week as they took on the Anderson Indians to kick off their season. So last Tuesday, your Ravens kicked off the season across the street, taking on the Anderson Indians. What were some of the biggest takeaways you took from that season opener?
We got to be tougher. We got to have more confidence. There's a saying that you're never as good as you think you are when you win. You're never as bad as you think you are when you lose. And when I went back and looked at our film, are there some bad things on there? Absolutely, but there were a lot of opportunities that we had to make plays that we just weren't able to get it done. We shot 35% from three, which is, for us, that's about average. I'd like to be a little better than that. But we were 32% from two, and you're just not going to win games at 32%. We got to get that up in the 50s. We got to be able to finish around the bucket a little bit more. And we also had some very young guys playing in their first situation like that, and that's a high-pressure situation, a great atmosphere, and I think as we grow and things slow down a little bit, we'll be all right.
What were some of the positives you took away from the offensive side of the ball?
There were some possessions that we did a great job moving the ball, getting it reversed. When we had five passes or more, we shot over 50%. When we got two or more ball reversals, we shot close to 60%. And so, you know, that takeaway of, guys, we got to move the ball, we got to work together, is a really good teaching tool to have. And the opposite was also true. When we had no ball reversals or we had two passes or less, we were shooting 26%. And, you know, that's a great thing to have in the week as a point of emphasis of why we got to play the way that I'm trying to get us to play.
So maybe besides from the offense, were there a few kind of positives that you saw from the team defensively?
Yeah. I thought we did. Honestly, I thought we did a lot of good things defensively at times. I thought we did a pretty good job jumping the ball. I thought we did a pretty good job of, especially our older guys playing on ball defense. Now our younger guys, I thought, struggled with that a little bit. And you know, I thought our blockouts were actually pretty good. They out rebounded us 34-30. But you know, we are giving up, you know, 2, 3, 4 inches at every spot. And so it takes a little bit of, commitment and toughness, to stay, you know, to keep the margin that low when you're really outsized. And that doesn't mean it's okay for us to get out rebounded, but that's definitely a positive that we can take moving forward.
So as you mentioned, moving forward, what are some things that both sides of the ball will improve on throughout practice this week?
I thought we did a really good job this week of moving the ball in practice. I thought that we really made that a point of emphasis, doing a lot of things, no dribble, a lot of three-man things. Where you can't really hide, you got to be out there making plays. And so I thought we did some nice things there. I thought our attitude this week was pretty good. There was no sulking, no feel bad for me kind of stuff going on. And I thought defensively, I thought we did some really nice things this week. So, you know, going into a game like Westfield where you got guys going to Purdue, I think they're the number 4 or number 5 team in the state. Like, it'll be a great test for us. But we're going to go over there, and we expect to go over there and have success. We expect to go over there and win. So I will really be excited to see kind of how our kids come out tomorrow night.
So as we take a look back at that Anderson game, how do you feel the practices were leading up to that season opener?
You know, up until Thursday, really, really good. Thursday, we were a little tight. We were a little kind of feeling that pressure a little bit, feeling that moment. Up until Monday. I apologize. Game was on Tuesday. But I thought up until Monday, really, really good. And you know, I think we had 11 practices before that game, and you know, really all 11 of them, except maybe one or two, were pretty good practices.
So how do you feel the practices were after that loss? How do you feel that your players overall took it? I mean, nobody wants to lose when it comes to a sport, but being able to get back on the hardwood and lock it in for your game tomorrow against Westfield.
You know, I thought Wednesday when we came back and we looked at some film and we told each other the truth, I thought we responded very well to that. There was no excuse making. There was no putting our heads down. Our kids owned it, and I thought they came out with the right attitude on Friday, Saturday, and again today to try and get better. And this is definitely a team that, I think I've told you before, it's definitely a team that's going to get better every week. And so I think that we definitely are a better team today than we were a week ago.
So looking at Anderson, they had a good amount of success in transitioning and working the ball in the paint. But what kind of adjustments will be made before you see Anderson again at the top of the month in January?
You know, it's such a long way away. It's not really something that is on my mind in this moment. As we get closer, we'll start looking at some of those things. But I think we didn't do any kind of planning. We wanted to go out and play and see where we were at, and I think we did that. I think if we are able to finish a little bit better on the basket, I think if we make a couple more free throws, then it's a little bit different game. So, you know, when we get close, when we get up to that January 3rd matchup, we'll definitely be looking at what we want to do a little bit more, a little bit less. But right now we're totally locked in on Westfield. And then after Westfield, we got a quick turnaround in LaPel on Friday. We lost Aaron Cookston today, to quarantine. So we're down another guy. We're down Ethan. And so it's next man up, and we got to focus on what's right in front of us.
So as you mentioned a little bit earlier, this team struggled a little bit being able to connect with shots inside the arc in those first two quarters. So how important will it be to hit those shots in the first half of games moving forward?
Oh, it's everything. I mean, you can't win against mediocre teams. You definitely can't beat good teams or great teams with that kind of shooting percentage. And I think it's more a mindset than an ability. I think there's, you know, we've got to build our confidence. We got to do a better job of making sure fundamentally that we're getting our toes where they need to be. We're getting our shoulders where they need to be. Our eyes are where they need to be. We're getting that ball high on the glass instead of trying to float it over the rim. And just some small detail things that will make all the difference.
So the shots inside the arc there in that second half definitely improved from the first half. So what were some of the adjustments being made in that second half to really get some of those shots to fall?
Just relax, boys. Just take it easy. Like, you wouldn't be out there if you couldn't play. And there's really no adjustment. It's just got to kind of take a deep breath. Hey, this is okay. We do this all the time. Finishing something that we work on every day, if not twice a day sometimes. And so it was really just kind of a, you know, there was no, like, anger in the locker room. There was no yelling in the locker room. It was all just, hey, let's relax. Let's get back to doing the things that we do. And again, I thought we came out and had a much better second half and make some free throws, make a couple key plays here and there, and I think we probably would have been in a little bit different situation.
So later there in that fourth quarter, we saw a lot more of a rotation defensively as you were going about a three-in, three-out rotation. So what will be some, was that something we'll be expecting to see in the rest of the season, or was that just for the moment?
You know, it'll depend. I thought we could take advantage of them not shooting it very well from the free throw line. And, you know, each guy's only got so many fouls. I don't think Caden Sims had a foul in the first half, and he fouled out in the fourth quarter because we were trying to foul and send him the line. I think they ended up 13 to 31. And we just weren't able to capitalize that. We cut it down to 16 once. We cut it down to 15. And we just couldn't quite get to where they were feeling that pressure. You know, you get it down to 11, 10, 9 points, and then they might start to tighten up a little bit. They might start to get a little loose with the ball, and we just couldn't quite get over that hump.
So that will do it for this segment. When we return, Coach Ballard continues to sit with us as we talk about this week's game against Westfield tomorrow night and LaPel over on Friday. You're listening to the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEM.
Everyone needs a passion.
Young people, especially.
That's one of the reasons why high school sports are so powerful.
Because they give student athletes purpose, something to be passionate about. I'm Sandra Walter.
And I'm Robert Falcons. We're both assistant commissioners for the Indiana High School Athletic Association.
And we're passionate about preserving the purity of high school sports.
They're the purest form of sport left. They're played on a level playing field.
And they're played for school and community pride.
They promote sportsmanship and build character.
And this year, we are thrilled to welcome back our passionate fans.
So buy a ticket to your school's next sporting event
and experience the passion and the purity of high school sports.
The athletes and schools deserve your support.
This is your team. This is your community. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEM.
We welcome you back to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEM. Now the Ravens are beginning to dig into their regular season. Now before we went to break, as I mentioned, they'll travel over to Westfield tomorrow night to take on the Shamrocks, and they will host LaPel as they take on the Bulldogs on Friday night. Now for Westfield, this will actually be their season opener, coming off an 18-5 season with head coach Shane Sumter, including 8-game win streak to open up the season. Now they also had a nice stretch of wins to close out the season. They won their last 5 regular season games, took home a couple of sectional wins before collapsing in the sectional championship to Carmel, 53-27. So what are some keys to watch for when playing this dynamic Westfield team?
Well, you know, they're really good. They're very well coached. They play great on the defensive end of the floor. Braden Smith's a real deal. You know, he'll be an Indiana All-Star. He's Mr. Basketball candidate. And then they got a couple other kids that can do some things as well. But, you know, we'll have to be solid. We'll have to make sure that we are taking advantage of opportunities when we have them. We can't make mistakes defensively because they're going to exploit those things. We can't be loose with the ball on offense because they're going to take advantage of that. And so we got to have a low turnover game. We got to get a lot of stops, and we got to make some shots.
Now looking at LaPel, LaPel is looking to rebound and get back on track from last season. Legendary high school basketball head coach Jimmy Howell was entering his 17th season with the Bulldogs and coached their first 4 games of the season before announcing his retirement, finishing his career with a 263-133 record with 2 state titles, both with LaPel. Now, the team eventually elevated longtime assistant coach as well as LaPel's boys and girls tennis coach Justin Coomer to be the interim head coach. Justin Coomer coached for coach for the next 20 games, finishing 7-13 with a loss in the first round of sectionals to Albahani 62-54. They have now brought in Todd Winland to coach the Bulldogs for this season. So how do you feel your Rabian team can do against the team, I guess, trying to build up chemistry and get back on track?
Well, I think they have a really good team. Went and saw them play last week. Probably go see them again tomorrow, Wednesday night. They're long. They're athletic. They got smart basketball players. I mean, it'll be a dogfight. You know, there's obviously a little history here with Coach Winland, and so I'm sure there's, you know, plenty of motivation on their part to come over here and get after it. So it'll be a tough game. But I think our kids are going to look forward to it and be ready to go.
So for Pendleton Heights, you guys did not see LaPel on your schedule last year, but overall in the series it's 6-2. So what are you looking forward to the most in a team to push and get that seventh win of the series?
I mean, you just want to get the win. As far as what number it is and things like that, I didn't know that stat. But every game that we play, we want to get a win. Obviously, when it's a county rival, that adds a little bit of heat to the situation. And, you know, our kids and their kids, I think, have a healthy level of respect, but also a little bit of disdain for one another. And so it'll be a fun game.
So the Arabians, the last time you guys saw the Westfield Shamrocks was last December. So Westfield secured a big win on the road, the Arabians home court, 81-38 finish. Jamison Dunham was the leading scorer for the Arabians with his 14 point, and four of those becoming behind the arc. Luke Candiano was just outside of double digits with 8 points as well as 7 rebounds. So how do you feel both Jamison and Luke can do with the lessons they learned from the Arabians claim revenge on Westfield?
Well, I think they've both grown a lot as players. They've both grown as leaders, and they're going to have to lead us, you know, in every way, defensively, offensively, the intangible things. And you know, if we're going to be successful, if we're going to get a win, it's because those guys led us there. It won't be in spite of them. It won't be without them. It will be because they took us.
Coach, you mentioned this player a little bit earlier in the segment. Westfield's Braden Smith is entering his senior year for the Shamrocks. Of course, he led the team last season with 22 points per game. Very dynamic and efficient scorer, all-around player overall. Though he only had 11 points on 27% shooting in that meeting against the Arabians, he's had several great performances in other games. He dropped 41 points in the second round of sectionals against Noblesville, 31 points in a blowout victory against Muncie Central, 30 points a few games later against Franklin Central, and then 37 points against Frankfort. Cam Hafner is also another player to throw in. 19 points in the game against Pendleton Heights, as well as 2 games with 20-plus points. So what would the key be to limiting Braden Smith on offense and causing trouble for Westfield?
Well, you just got to limit Braden's opportunities. I mean, he's the real deal. There's a reason that he's going to, you know, go play for go to school for free and play for the Boilermakers, number two team in the country. You know, they don't recruit guys that can't play. You know, Hafner's another guy that we've got to be all over him. I thought, you know, ironically, you look at the score and you think, oh, my God, they got blown out. I went back and watched that tape again this weekend, and I watched some more of it again today. And there were a lot of things that we actually did really well. They were just a lot better basketball team than we were. A lot of times that we got exactly what we wanted, we couldn't convert on whatever it is that we were trying to do. And that, you know, that's where I go back to your first question in, you know, how do you beat them? Like, we can't make mistakes. We can't have those opportunities that we don't get things done. And so I think we've grown as individuals. We've grown as a team. I think, you know, with it being their first game, there's always a little bit of, you know, what are they going to look like? What are they going to do? Just because you haven't seen them yet. But I fully expect that they'll be in mid-season form, and we'll have to be ready to go.
Now, LaPel also has their fair share of star players returning for their senior seasons. Landa Bear, a solid playmaker and turnover – forcing turnover machine, Griffin Craig, a key piece for the Bulldogs for the past couple of seasons, and Corbin Brennan, a go-to scorer and efficient rebounder. So what are some notes and lessons to learn from those three Bulldogs players? Maybe not just those three Bulldogs players, just the Bulldogs roster in general.
Yeah, they've also got a couple freshmen and a sophomore named Carpenter that are really nice players. I mean, they've got a very, very nice team, a lot of really good pieces. It doesn't shock me at all that they gave Anderson everything they wanted. They beat Frankton. You know, I expect that, no disrespect, but I expect they'll handle Elwood. And they're going to be well coached. You know, I think Todd Wendland, is somebody I don't know very well other than by reputation. I think that he gets a little bit of a bad rap just, because of, you know, the jobs that he's had and things like that. But I, through mutual friends, mutual acquaintances, I've heard nothing but how great of a coach he is. I've seen his teams play, and they're hard-nosed, they're disciplined, they get after it. So, you know, they're, like I said, they're a very, very good team. It's going to take a great effort on our part. You know, we'll be down two of our top seven guys, but, you know, it's time to go. You can't make excuses, and we just got to go compete and give it everything we got.
So taking a look at the younger and first-year varsity starters here for the Arabians, last game against Anderson, Josiah Gustin pulled in 12 points and 7 boards and also added on a few assists. Caden Sims drained a 3-pointer as well as snagging a couple of offensive rebounds. And then Aaron Cookson and Braden Kinnitz were also in the mix there. So how do you see tomorrow's game against Westfield matching up with these players to begin building up some more varsity experience?
Well, I think every game they play, they're going to feel a little bit more comfortable in that kind of atmosphere. You know, varsity basketball is a different animal. You know, I love football, I love baseball, but it's not basketball. You know, when you're playing football, you're 30, 40 yards from the closest fan. When you're playing baseball, it's kind of the same thing. When you're playing basketball, they're in your back pocket, and they're sitting right there. You got no helmet on, you got no hat. Everybody sees it's you. And that's a little bit different kind of pressure. And I think as our kids continue to play, I think they'll start to embrace that a little bit more rather than be intimidated by it. You know, Joe played a ton for us as a freshman, but he still feels that. You saw that a little bit against Anderson. Caden definitely felt that. Aaron definitely felt that. But what we've got to have out of, especially out of Caden, and then when we get Aaron back, is when they've got open shots, they got to knock them down. Because when Jameson or when Luke or Joe, when they draw that help, we've got to be able to kick it and make a shot, because if we don't, it's going to make it so much harder on those guys to make plays. If they got to think about whether or not to bring that second defender, then that'll allow Luke, Jameson, and Josiah to make plays. If they can just go all out, send two guys at them, and not have to worry about that help getting burned, then that'll make it a lot tougher. So we need those guys to be solid defensively. We need them to make open shots, and we need them to take care of the ball.
So that will conclude this segment. Hey, thank you, Coach Ballard, for joining us once again.
I appreciate you guys having me.
So stay tuned, folks. Ian and I will be going over the calendar of events in the month of December for the Arabian Athletics. You're listening to the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEM.
Do you have an event you'd like to promote? Make sure to go to 917WEEM.org and click on the WEEM Community Calendar. There you'll find the calendar and a link to the form you will need to fill out to have your event show up on the calendar. Again, everything you need to get the word out on your event is at the WEEM Community Calendar. Details online at 917WEEM.org.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf. Ooh!
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Ow!
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say?
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit NHTSA.gov.
/ the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 917 WEM.
We welcome you guys back here to our sixth and final segment here on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. But this one is just going to be myself as well as Jacob Fassmeyer breaking down the winter sports schedules for you guys out there. So, December 4th. The boys wrestling will take on the Newcastle Invitational at Newcastle. That's going to be an 8:30 start. They're going to see a lot of different competition there, maybe potentially teams such as Lawrence North and North Central But as you were talking about earlier, that's just a wonderful gym to be able to go, not even just to play any sport, whether it be basketball or wrestling, to be able to throw some mats in there and just be able to play in that atmosphere.
Beautiful. It's an historic field house. And one thing to point out about the Ravens wrestling team, their last meet was actually back on November 20th as they opened up their season over at Hamilton Heights High School for the Hamilton, of course, the Hamilton Heights Super Six. As they also had a meet against Greenfield Central that was on the chart, but it was scratched off. So, you know, feeling a little bit rusty, but also a good meet to try to, I guess, trying to get yourself energized. Now, the Ravens in that meet placed 10th out of 13 other schools. They racked up 41 points, just beating Prue High School by just a few points. Now, the Hoosier Heritage Conference rivals, of course, the Greenfield Central Cougars, secured first place with a couple of points shy of 200. They scored 198, followed by, I believe, Carmel and Oak Hill, wrapping up the top three with 197 and 183 points. So this meet for sure circled on Coach Cloud's calendar.
Yes, definitely. And then as we take a look for the girls' side of the wrestling, as Indiana's really, they're really trying to push for girls wrestling to be sanctionized, but they're going to be traveling to Maconaqua Invite here on December 4th. That's going to be a 9:30 start, so there for Arabian Wrestling, they're actually going to have three separate meets going on that day. They're not only is there going to be the Newcastle Invitational, there'll be that girls invite, as well as a JV invite that'll be on the road as well. But then as we take a look on December 11th, the boys varsity wrestling will be at home for the Super Six that they tend to host every year. Brings in some great competition. They're going to see a lot of great talent that you're going to see later in sectional and regionals. But that'll start at 8:30. And then for the girls' side, they'll travel to Lebanon for that invite there on the 11th. But for Arabian Wrestling, got a couple of tournaments here on Saturday. Then following those tournaments, you'll finally see some dual meets throughout the week.
So kind of talking about that Pendleton Heights Super Six on December 11th, there has to be, just as a player, Ian, as yourself, there has to be nothing better than just being able to, I guess, host a game, you know, go out on the field, or basically just, you know, host a meet that has to be on your home floor.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, we have the gym set up here at Pendleton. They'll have about three mats rolling across there, covering the majority of the gym. It'll go from literally wall to wall. So we'll have mat 1, 2, and 3. And that's going to see six separate teams. So how that works is that first match, you're going to wrestle a team. The second, you wrestle each team individually and see how you can compete. And they'll match up the final scores and point scoring, as well as they'll do the seeding for who won the tournament by weight class. So it's a great opportunity, a great thing to have here at Pendleton Heights, because that's not only going to be the only meet, that tournament they're going to host this season.
Yeah, as you mentioned, for the girls' varsity, I want to kind of go back to the girls' varsity wrestling. I believe they had a meet over the weekend. I believe it was the New Pal Invitational. I heard they killed it then. And, of course, as you mentioned, on December 4th, they're going to travel to Maconaqua, the Invite High School, at 9:30 a.m. And then a week later, they travel over to Lebanon for that invite. So far, for that girls' varsity team is so far killing it this year. And I'm excited for what they do for the rest of the season.
And definitely for that girls' team, it's one of the first times they're really having an all-girls team that they're able to take into different competitions. Because before, the girls were wrestling more boy-style in the tournaments and stuff. But this year, a lot of schools you're seeing, they're having girl-only tournaments. So that's definitely a big shift and trying to really make a push for the sanctionizing of girls wrestling. But then on the 13th, the boys and girls will be home against Anderson for 6:30. That's just a dual meet. But then that following Saturday, the 18th, they will host the Madison County Tournament here at home. And for Pendleton Heights, the Madison County champions, they haven't lost a county tournament in a couple of years. And they have a couple of returning county championship winners, such as Ethan Childers, Sam Mossany, Jackson Todd, and a couple others. They will be without Colin Gillespie, unfortunately, as he was a Madison County champion last year, wishing to be back on the floor, or Matt. And then rounding out December 28th and 29th, right after Christmas, they have a two-day tournament at North Montgomery Invite. So they'll wrestle on that 28th and then see their standings there, and they'll have some more matches to be able to try to win that tournament on the 29th.
So kind of tracing back over to the December 18th matchup, the Madison County Tournament. Believe it or not, the Ravens have actually won seven straight county titles, and I believe this is the 29th title in school history, trying to look to get that number 30. And for the December 20th, 29th, a little bit of a travel over to North Montgomery High School, of course, in Montgomery County. So for sure, another meet. So, of course, as you mentioned, it's a two-day meet, so some of the players are going to get rested up for, get lots of practice, hydrate for that two-day meet.
Yeah, and one of the big things for wrestling is you're always based on a weight class. If you're missing weight, you're unable to wrestle your weight class. And a lot of times, That weight class above you already has a wrestler filled in that spot. So if you're not cutting weight, you're unfortunately going to be replaced or not, just have to forfeit your matches and not be able to wrestle. So you're going to see a lot of guys working to cut their weight, being able to stay hydrated. Throughout that whole tournament, as typically they like to get a hotel as a team so they don't have to wake up as early in the next morning to drive all the way down there, because that's going to be an early start as they're starting at 8:30 and 9 on both days. And that's going to be a great test and competition on some of the teams you wouldn't see throughout other parts of your season.
Sure, it's going to get them trained up for the rest of the season, especially moving on into the, of course, the playoffs that'll happen, I believe, February or March of next year.
It starts about the beginning of February where they'll open up the sectionals normally on the road. But one of the cool things for Pendleton is they host the regional, so you'll see great teams come in. It's such one of the top teams in the state, Cathedral. They typically send a handful of wrestlers to the state tournament. It's going to be at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, always a unique thing that Pendleton Knights, they've been have the honor to send a couple of wrestlers there in the past three seasons. Sent Trimmer Vinyl back 3 years ago, and then, of course, sending another wrestler there in the past 2 years of Jared Brown. And a lot of these guys really having that amazing, just being able to go in that big field house, or huge stands, and just all those people coming to watch that weekend tournament. And of course, you're trying to make history, make your name a state champion.
And there's a few wrestlers that kind of come to my mind. I kind of trace them back over to the Madison County tournament. I know one of those winners, as you mentioned, was Ethan Childers. Blake Nicholson is another one, I believe. Elijah Creel was another one. So, of course, with the loss of course Trimmer Bino a few years ago, then Jared Brown from last year's class, for sure, it's gonna be of course it's gonna be a tough battle to get there. But for sure, a few wrestlers that kind of come to my mind where I think they might be able to put on a good show in that sectional and maybe eventually be able to move on and put on a good result to the regional, semi state, and maybe the championship.
Yeah, but for them, they have to take it one match at a time, because if you place top three and sectional, you're able to move on. Top three and regional moves on and so forth. But whenever you get to that semi-state, it's only the top two from each semi-state that finally gets to move on to that state championship. So it's not easy getting there. There's a lot of workers. They've been working all off-season just trying to work and make the eventual state championship run.
But I hear it at lunchtime. I hear it in the hallways. I hear it during class periods. These wrestlers are so devoted. They want to do so good this season. They have lots of confidence, lots of motivation to do really good and put on a really positive outcome for this season, especially a lot of these seniors, too.
They make a whole lot of sacrifices. I mean, you can ask them to go out and grab a bite to eat, and they're this weight, can't eat here, can't eat this. A lot of water, as they have to pass hydration tests as well as weight. And a lot of people, they try to limit the amount of water they consume for they can make that weight. But how they have to have their hydration test nowadays, you're not able to do that as much because you have to pass up both.
So that will do it for this evening's ASN Coaches Show. Be sure to stay tuned to 91.7 WEM tomorrow night as the Ravens travel over to Westfield to take on the Shamrocks. Hayden Edmondson and I will be on the call. Tip-off at 7:30 with the Ravens Sports Network pregame show starting at 7:15. We hope you all enjoyed your Thanksgiving weekend as well as tonight's show. So for Ian Stevens, I am Jacob Fessmeyer. This was the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEM.